In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When a congregation is building a church, great expense is incurred and great labor endured. But when the task is finished, joy fills the hearts of all those who have sacrificed and labored. The bishop comes to dedicate the church in a solemn ceremony, and the church is richly decorated. Many flowers are set out, many candles are lit. The reason for the joy on that day of dedication is that a house of God has been built, and this building is being set aside as the dwelling place of God. It is the house of God and a dwelling place of God among us, and this fact gives us great consolation. For if we were able to go to the Holy Land and see the place where God was born, we would deeply venerate that place, not because of its rich decorations, for the very spot and surroundings where Christ was born are very humble, but for the fact that our Lord dwelled in it, for the fact that he dwelled a few days or a few weeks in that stable. That would give us consolation just to see that place, to touch it. The same is true of the house of Loretto. Just to see the humble little house, which today is surrounded by a magnificent basilica, we would not pay as much attention to the decoration of the basilica as we would to the humble little house which it encloses, because God dwelled in that house. And these things we would venerate because God was once in them. How much more do we venerate those places in which God currently dwells? Now, when a bishop dedicates a church, he prays that Satan be kept from that place. At baptism, the children renounced Satan with all of his works and all of his pomps. The parents of these children here today probably remember their baptisms and the sponsors answering to the priest those questions. They remember when they were little babies, and now they are 7 years old. The little children swore allegiance through their sponsors to our Lord Jesus Christ and to his Holy Catholic Church. And therefore, my dear children, you have been solemnly declared to be God's property. Just as when the bishop comes and dedicates a church and declares it to be the property of God, so also at your baptisms you became the property of God. And you have promised to persevere throughout your whole life in the teachings and sacred practices of the Catholic Church. In this way, first communicants, your baptism is like the dedication of the church, because it makes you body and soul into little churches of God, little centers of adoration, little houses of piety and of faith. Now, when a church has been set aside by dedication, Mass is celebrated, and for the first time our Lord dwells in the new tabernacle prepared for him. Everything is new. Everything is clean. And so you also, little children, have been dedicated, even consecrated, to God by baptism. And now God comes to dwell in you in the Holy Eucharist, in the same way that he would come to the tabernacle and dwell in the tabernacle, so he will come to you and dwell in you. For our blessed Lord placed himself in the Holy Eucharist not only to be placed in the tabernacle, but primarily, that is, most of all, to be placed in you. Just as people would find joy to see the sanctuary lamp burn for the first time in their new church, giving them the consolation of the presence of God, so are your parents and your relatives filled with joy today to see the sanctuary lamp burn for the first time in you. For today Christ will come into you even more closely than the way he comes into the tabernacle. He will possess you more than he possesses a church. Now, as joyful as the dedication of a church is, and as much as it gives us consolation, the desecration of a church is a horrifying event. A church becomes desecrated if somebody should commit a murder in it, or if someone should do an open act of impurity in it. When this happens, the priest comes and removes the Blessed Sacrament. The altar is stripped, and nothing remains in the church but desolation. And the church cannot be used for Mass. Nothing sacred can go on in there because it is desecrated. And so it is if your souls are desecrated by mortal sin. God leaves them because he will not dwell with sin. Your soul becomes desolate, and the longer you leave it, the worse it gets. So may the house of God in you never be desecrated by mortal sin. Today, children, is the day to pray for the grace never to commit a mortal sin. What a wonderful life that would be, to be able to go to God when you take your final breath and say, I have never committed a mortal sin. To have our Lord Jesus Christ look into your soul and realize that it has never been stained with a single mortal sin. This is probably true of the great saints, like Saint Bernadette, like Saint Thomas Aquinas, whose own confessor said he thinks that he never committed a single mortal sin in his whole life. Today is the day to ask for that grace, for it is by the grace of God that you avoid mortal sin. And today is the day to make a firm resolve to accept death rather than commit a single mortal sin. To be ready to die like the martyrs rather than commit a single mortal sin. If a man accepted death in order to preserve a church from desecration, we would consider him a great saint. He would be on our altars as a great saint because he would have preferred to give up his life rather than see a church of God desecrated. So you will be a great saint if you are willing to protect your souls from mortal sin, even with the price of your own lives. For if you love God that much, he will give you all the other graces to be a great and holy person, truly a saint. And even if you are not canonized one day, God will know the love of God that exists in you because you are willing to give your life rather than commit a single mortal sin. Today is the day for that grace. Today is the day to beg God. But even if a church is desecrated, it can be reconciled and used again. The bishop comes and blesses the church again. And once again our Lord comes to the tabernacle. And once again the flowers come and the candles. And the church is decorated. And everything is new again. And so if, God forbid, you should have the misfortune of committing a mortal sin in your life, you may go to confession, be reconciled with God, and once again receive Him in the Holy Eucharist. How merciful God is that even after a soul may be desecrated many times by mortal sin, He wants that soul to come back to Him again and again, and again He comes and dwells. Now today we have crowned our Blessed Lady. And we have chosen to crown her on this day because she is the greatest of all of the houses of God. And the reason why she is the greatest and the most beautiful of all of the houses of God is because God Himself built her. God Himself prepared her for Himself. When we make churches for God, we make them as best we can. We decorate them. We make them as big and as beautiful as we can. But no matter how beautiful and big they are, it is our work and not the work of God. But when our Lord wanted to come into this world, He built a house for Himself. And that house is the Immaculate Conception. It is our Blessed Lady, conceived without original sin, full of grace. And so every church in the world is an image of her because she is the one whom our Lord chose to dwell inside of. And she is the one whom our Lord chose to be His mother. And she is called in the litany of Loreto, the litany of the Blessed Virgin Mary, she is called the House of Gold. House of Gold. Imagine a house made of gold. And that is our Blessed Lady. And our Lord loves to go to His house in her more than anywhere else. Because she loves Him more than anyone else. Our Lord is not so much concerned about the building or what it looks like or how decorated it is, but only in as much as all of those decorations and beauty and all of the things we put in it are an expression of how much we love Him. For our Lord does not need those things. He has all those things and made all those material things. But what He is looking for in us is the expression of our love. So when He is in our Blessed Lady, when He came to her as the Christ child, He was more pleased to be there than He is any place else, because He finds more love of God in her than He saw any place else. And even the angel Gabriel, when he announced to our Blessed Lady the fact that she would be the mother of God, saw more love of God in her soul than he had ever seen in heaven. Now imagine heaven, where all of the angels and saints worship God day and night without cease. And he saw more devotion and love of God in the soul of the Blessed Virgin Mary than he saw in any angel in heaven. And so he bowed to her. She was his superior, his queen. And we should therefore dedicate our souls to the Blessed Virgin Mary, that through her intercession we may obtain the grace never to expel our Lord by mortal sin, never to throw Him out of our souls because we love some creature more than Him, but to our dying day keep the temples of our bodies and our souls pure and without stain, fitting dwelling places of our blessed Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.